Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To the sweet sounds of Kevin Bloody Wilson, it's Hump Day with Swatty and friends, Samantha Richards and Dane Swan right in the middle of a domestic. Hello.
Hello, Dane. How What's going on there? It sounds a bit heated.
Well, do you want to introduce our guest first and then I can...
No, you can tell us first that we'll introduce our guest.
We were just having a standoff about working space.
And how's that going?
Well, Taylor seems to think that her work's more important than mine.
And how do you feel about that?
I completely. Well, you tell me this isn't important work. We're doing God's work here.
No, I totally agree. It's a shame that Taylor doesn't see the importance of what you bring to the people, Dane.
Mate, it's a fucking tragedy. But I think because the weather's a bit nicer, I decided to go upstairs. But pardon? This is not your podcast. This is Swanee and Friends, not Taylor and Friends. So go away. Yeah, so I won.
You won.
Pardon? Her meeting's over, apparently, so...
Is she convinced that you work?
No, she's not. She thinks I'm a moron. Or an idiot. But,
that's very kind.
She's going down to do some washing, actually, so... So I'm not trying to be sexist there. She's actually putting some clothes out on the clothes horse, which is a clothes horse is a funny thing, because it actually doesn't look like a horse, but...
Where did the name come from? Do we know?
Fuck if I know. I don't know.
All right. Sounds like you need some backup, Dane. So you've brought a guest along. You'd never stop working for us. Who's our guest?
Mate of mine. Well, I don't know what he'd call himself. He can introduce himself. But Scott Dooley, all the way from New York City, where they're probably more fucked up than Melbourne's been the last 6 months. So he can talk about that. But I don't know. What do you call yourself, Scott?
Hi, Scott.
I don't know. I'm just one of the friends. That's what I am.
Yeah,
I'm Swanee's friend. That's what I put
on
my passport.
what's your job title? Comedian?
Wikipedia says comedian. So should we go with that, or do you have something you prefer?
Yeah, I'd say comedian. Yeah, I feel like you know how for the US election they just send over people. It's clearly part of their contract, and you're like, oh, the cash cows at Washington because the guy in the cash cow suit had the deal, and now they've got to try to turn that into their correspondent. That's what I feel like I am here.
It's absolutely.
You made a bad deal one time, and now you've got to cross to me because there's an election.
Yeah, well, it's a very good way to not get any more work in Australia by coming on here, mate. So,
hey, what's the worst thing that could happen to a guy called Scott going on a podcast with Dane Swan?
Absolutely nothing. Have you heard of Urban
Victory? Is that too soon? Are we too soon? Is that more a Taylor and Friends joke? What am I doing?
Yeah, absolutely. You'll be turning over and my spine just shivered then. No doubt about it.
So listen, Dane suggested you, Scott, and I thought I want to hear on the podcast what the connection is between you two because it's not all that obvious. But then I'm doing some research, and Samantha, tell me if you can figure out why this might tell you why Scott and Dane are friends. Because he's got this fantastic podcast called Is There Something In This? About, and the inaugural podcast was about New Yorker cartoons. Scott, how many podcasts did you do after that first one?
I've no idea.
There's only one list of.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. No, no, we. No, no, no.
There's only one list that I thought, there's the connection. Yeah. Work ethic.
Yeah, that's true. We have, I got to say, we weren't bonding over the blisters on our hands.
Wow. Just I may have had blisters for completely different reasons than what you think. It's a big weekend.
So we wanted to talk a bit of US, but not in a boring, serious way. And obviously, when Swanee said that you're based over there, we thought, great. But what is the connection with you and Dane, please?
Grindr.
Yeah, Grindr. I'm not sure what it was. I don't know. It's just a couple of like-minded guys having a crack in the mid-2000s, and here we are.
Absolutely. Times have changed.
Yeah.
Or have they?
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. I can't remember how we were. I think we probably met through Heredia.
Probably.
Is it Tanner? That was probably the connection.
I think so, yeah. And he's a good Collingwood man, so we can ask him about what's going on with the Collingwood trade period at the minute.
Can I just ask what is going on? Like, if North Melbourne is looking at you going, God, you got to sort yourself out. There is a huge problem with your...
Well, North Melbourne are clearly a destination club.
North Melbourne are the Donald Trump of the AFL. Like, they don't think anything through and then act like it was a big plan and then will blame the media and then look completely shocked when the predicted thing happens and then go back to acting like it was a big plan.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. They obviously, I don't know what Collingwood are doing, but they obviously think they also think they have a plan. They obviously are not keen on their midfielders because they're trying to get rid of them all.
What is going on?
Were you ever put like on the trade table? Was it ever said?
I'm sure behind closed doors. Yeah, they say everyone's up for trade. They say everyone's up for trade, depending on who they get back. But I was never actively told that, mate, we're looking at moving you.
Right. Because there's always this is the classic open mic question, which is how close were you to St Kilda? And they'll always go, oh yeah, listen, I had a really good meeting with Ricky Nixon, and we toured Moorabbin, and it just didn't come. Do you have any of those stories?
No, I think my manager maybe asked me once. I can't remember if it was after the flag or just before it, but I think it might have been just after. And I said, oh, the only place I'd entertain, I don't even know why I said, man, I love Collingwood. I'll never leave. I'm too lazy. I know what I can get away with here. Like going to a new club, you have to try hard. Didn't try hard, but you have to fucking like try and work extra hard, do extra, get there early, stay late, because you have to impress your new teammates and that. At Collingwood, I didn't have to impress anyone because I'd been there and also the top of the heap. So it was fine. But Tickets might have been lying or I may have misremembered this. But for sure, the only people I think might have been interested were Sydney. And maybe that's probably because they didn't hear what I was up to off the field down here in Melbourne, so they're away from it. But that was the only ever club I said, well, listen, if Collingwood don't want me, because I've always wanted to stay Collingwood, the only club that I would ever think about going was up north, just to get out of Melbourne to see what footy was like in a state where no one gives a fuck about you. That was the only time, but I was 100% always going to stay Collingwood. There wasn't a time where my manager said, all the clubs said, listen, explore other options or pickers, we probably can get you fucking twice as much money or for extra years. Or it was nothing, never like that. So, but I'm sure they try to trade me behind closed doors. They try and trade everyone if the right deal's there. So I'm sure my name was probably thrown up, but I didn't come out of contract for the last probably 7-8 years of my career. I just kept extending it. So I was never, running out of contract at the end of the year, apart from the year I broke my foot.
So there was no, like, free agent period where you paused?
No, there wasn't free agency when I was in, or maybe being right at the end. But
you feel really old when I say that. You feel super. You're like, oh, back in my day, there was no such thing. You know what? We got paid and we got paid in liniment and a pat on the back.
Mate, well, talk about feeling really old. This is a random segue. How old is it? When do you think you're too old to be listening to, like, 16-year-old rappers and stuff like that?
So I was thinking about this today.
So I was thinking about last night, because I was listening to a 16-year-old talking about giving head, getting head, like, fucking, I'm like, these 16-year-old rappers, I said, I'm 36, like, singing a car, singing along to a 16-year-old boy talking about fucking and, like, giving head and stuff like that. And then you see, like, females, like, young female girls talking about the same thing, like sucking dick and stuff. Well, I'm like, this is so inappropriate for a 37-year-old man to be singing along to. But the music that I blared and I sang at the top of my lungs.
You didn't write a letter to the editors, Dane?
No, I don't know. Yeah, it still works. But
you're old enough to be their dad, Dane. Did you know this?
Look,
you could tell me to be their dad.
I just think it's I don't know, how old is it? How old is too old to be listening to a 16-year-old? And that doesn't even have to be talking about sex or, you know, whatever it is. Just I was in the car last night listening to this, like, 16-year-old rapper, and I was like, fuck, I shouldn't be singing this. I shouldn't be enjoying this music as much time. I really wish he was 27, but I don't know.
See, now, you're ahead of me, because this is one of the things in our friendship that we've often bonded over is our enjoyment of terrible rap music, particularly from Florida. And one of the I'm now at the point where I'll only find out about new rappers when they're trending on Twitter because they were shot. Like, that's how I find all my new music. I'm like, Extension sounds pretty good. Pity he's dead now.
Yeah, King Von, absolutely. Yeah. Same. But so yeah, so Ralph, do you listen to 16-year-old rap music?
No, my equivalent, Swanee, is my bout of just absolute shatteredness when the first guy at AFL level was picked who I was older than.
Right.
So that was my moment, apart from being 5'6" and having no talent.
Yeah.
But that was my moment where I realised I'm probably not going to make it.
Yeah. Because
really? So
once you get part.
Was your moment. Was that okay?
That would have been a while ago too.
But you would have had that at the club too, Swanee, where all of a sudden, yeah, it's good being the young smart ass, but then all of a sudden Mick would say to you, listen, you're a senior player now, and you go, oh, fuck, am I? Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, obviously you got called old enough, but I was still at the top of my game, so I couldn't really
what, give you play?
Yeah, but they all call me old in that now. I'm going to have a kick with Benny Crocker after this. And he calls me old, which I am, I guess, in AFL terms. So, it is what it is. He's got to deal with it. Okay, he can't play forever, like all I tell all these young kids.
Very true.
What about you, Scott, coming through the ranks when all of a sudden you realise, I'm not the kid coming through the ranks anymore. I'm still younger than me.
Still an option for me. As long as Tom Brady's playing in the NFL, as long as Phil Rivers are playing, like, as long as guys that are older than me, I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. I'm like pushing Ricky Ponting to come back to the Australian so I can have a nice summer. That's my thing. But my one was when I Shazammed a song in a supermarket. That was when I was like, all right, buddy. There's
what
a lot
was it?
Back in this right now.
What was the song?
The song was "It Was My House" by French Montana, I think. Oh. No.
Yeah. What is French Montana doing in a supermarket?
Well, yeah, he's a startup for it. He had the acoustic and was just banging it out.
Well, Michael Jordan has kind of moved the goalposts for me, I think, because when we watched that documentary a couple of weeks ago, and he came back at 31, and I'm only 33, so like now I kind of like say to myself, oh, if Michael Jordan could do it at 31, I can do anything. Like, I've done this hand, and a couple of my little kids that I teach, one of them's got a broken knee, one elbow, one's got a dislocated knee, and I look at them and they're like, oh, they're so young, they can bounce back. And in my head, I'm like, I'm only 33. If Michael Jordan can start his career again at 31, I can get back from this. So he kind of moved the goalposts, and I feel younger than I probably actually am.
Okay, so you're saying I can sing, so the answer is I can sing along to sexually explicit rap songs by 16-year-old males and females. Is that
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And wait, are you worried about your brand if you do?
Yeah. My image is going to take a fucking hat battering. So I'm going to go sing WAP at the top of my lungs when I get out of here.
So, Scott, last week you tweeted when the election looked like a fait accompli. We're still not sure if it is, but because it's $1.10 on some betting exchanges. I'm glad it's over. Now we can get back to being scared of dying. How's it going over there?
It's actually starting to get back to what it was. So in kind of from March till about June, we were pretty much locked down and it was a really different thing. And then everyone kind of got a bit sick of that and started going out. Like the infection rate had gone down in New York, but now it's coming back up. So I think I wanted to ask the three of you, what are some lockdown tips? Because we're heading back into a lockdown. We've seen at the beginning of this podcast Dane's attitude towards domestic bliss, so I've taken a lot of that on board.
Yeah.
But what did you – because Melbourne – and I say this with due respect, but, geez, you didn't stop complaining, did you? Like the whole – I couldn't get on Twitter without someone going, fuck you, Dan Andrews. Like I never really liked my nan much anyway. Fuck you. Like there was such a weird attitude towards it. What do you think?
I've got recency bias now, so I can't remember ever bagging Dan Andrews. But we're days in a row. So it's like, what are you talking about? He's done a great job. We're 13 days, Baker's dozen of donuts today. Donuts, they're another thing. Donuts should only be eaten in the first 6 hours you buy them, otherwise they're no good.
I completely agree.
What are these people getting on the plane with the Krispy Kremes?
No, they're no good. Yeah, because I always go to the donut store. You buy like a 12-pack or something because that feels like the right thing to do. Then 8 of them sit there for 3 days and I'm like, I'm not eating them. They taste shit. Mm, so that's a little tidbit about donuts. But
I think the in answer to your question about the Krispy Kremes on the donuts, on the plane I used to do that because Perth never had Krispy Kreme. So it was like taking home a souvenir.
It's too far.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
but my dad, if I got home without them.
I think Scott told you to fuck off. So if you're one of those people who...
correct.
That's nice, yeah. Krispy Kremes, are they still a thing? Because now they're all those like the creative, like the artisan donuts or whatever you call them, you know, the real funky ones. Is Krispy Kreme still as popular as ever or like the individual boutique donut shops overtaken them?
I think you could be onto something there, Dane.
You're talking like, oh, you can get your tiramisu donut and your macchiato.
Yeah, and one with a syringe and that in them. Not to be confused with the syringes.
Yeah.
They're like in Nutella. Richmond and stuff like that, you know, like on the streets. You don't want them. You want to find a donut with the syringe been on the street.
The methadone donut. Why are we being focused on this?
Yeah, well, Man, that'd be a big seller.
It's a laser-focused target market, to be fair.
There's your lockdown tip. Just eat methadone donuts for every day, and that'll sort you out.
So, Scott, did you finish Netflix like Dane did?
Oh, did you do a lap of Netflix, did you, Sonny?
Yeah, I finished it. Yeah, Pornhub. Yeah. Netflix, Amazon Prime. Oh, mate, it was tough. So, mate, surviving lockdown, that was about what it was because we couldn't go outside. We could go outside for an hour. Mm. Is that right?
Yeah, an hour.
How was that?
I don't know. Well, I would find it very, very difficult to believe anyone in this chat did not break the rules. I was going to ask this question when we got further down the road who actually broke the rules, but while we're here, I would guarantee 95% of Melburnians were out for – an hour and 1 minute at some stage, you know, or out twice a day to walk their dog or something like that. But it's not police, is the short answer, unless because of the 5K rule. I never had any instruction with the police because I was always obeying the rules. So if you're 5K out, you could get in trouble because they'd look at your address. But I think it was the people police themselves on that rule.
Scott, it even got to the stage because the limit of exercise was 5Ks and they were pulling you up on your bike and checking your Garmin if you were serious about it. And to
was he serious?
Yeah, yeah. There was one of a lady who went for a walk. The police stopped her. She was 58 minutes from home, and no worries. And then they went to her home, and when she got back after a 2-hour walk, they were there to book her.
Really?
Yeah. So they didn't muck around. Mm.
Was she cop a fine or what?
Yeah,
she got the fine, yeah. So I think it was a $1,500 fine at the time for any. Yeah, it was the government's biggest revenue source.
How many Krispy Kremes could you get back to Perth with 15?
Quite a few. But actually, you know, the one thing we never talked about in here, the one thing from the government or the police, whoever did it, that I didn't appreciate was the Dobbin a Neighbour campaign.
Mm.
Like, that is a good way to fuck up your street.
Yeah. Un-Australian, isn't it, to be honest?
Like, I understand if next door had 150 people there and they were banging music at 3 a.m. when you're not meant to be. Yeah, absolutely. Like, but if you see two people walk into their house, your next door neighbour, you're going to completely ruin your fucking apartment building or your street for the length of your living there. So,
do you know what?
That was a great idea.
Here's my theory on this. That was pushed by the stitches industry, because they were struggling because people weren't out riding bikes, falling over, hurting themselves, and they had all these stitches lying around. And we know who gets stitches.
Yes,
snitches.
And I think whoever did it
very smart. From
follow the money.
I guess my advice would be to leave. I feel like everyone that left when I don't know if you saw, Scott, but there was a weekend here that there was kind of like a mass exodus from the state when the footballers were leaving, the V8 supercar drivers were leaving, all of their partners and families, and that's where everyone kind of ran for the borders. And though I think that's why people were so sour on the socials, because all of their mates that managed to escape before the borders closed were the ones that were tanning on a beach in Brisbane somewhere, constantly putting it on their Instagram. So I think that would be my – if I could do it again, I'd leave. And then secondly, yeah, the second tip would be clock Netflix.
Oh, and I definitely have two workspaces. Definitely.
Third tip, you know, two workspaces. Good idea.
If you can be in the house with each other, that's fine. But as long as you're doing different stuff during the day, I had the fortunate pleasure of Taylor working pretty much 9 to 5. So she was downstairs or upstairs doing meeting stuff. So I could watch the basketball all day. And the basketball's not at a good time here for us. Obviously, it's during the day. So we wouldn't really come back together till, you know, 5 o'clock, so that was okay, because if we were in each other's pockets 24 hours, I think any couple, you would tell you that it wouldn't last long. So,
I'm not going to lie. When you said, do you want to come on my podcast, I fucking jumped at him.
Exactly. It's a 24-hour podcast, yeah.
I'm here, man.
Yeah.
So what's life for you, Scott? You married?
Yeah, married. My wife is from New Zealand. But you know, nobody's perfect, so we let that slide. And living here in New York, been here for 7 or 8 years now.
Yeah, and there's a good ex-Aussie population there. You mates with Brad Blanks, I'm mates with Brad Blanksy, but I know there's a lot of Aussies that have that real connection over there.
Yeah, the Australian mafia is certainly alive and well, and it's always fun meeting the Aussies that come over here. When they first get here, there's some certain extracurricular activities here that really blow people's minds, which is I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, but what's the transition from being, you're making it over here, but then you take the jump to going over there, and all of a sudden you realise you're probably not that important.
Thanks, Robbie.
in an awesome way, because Will Anderson, I've heard Will Anderson speak about it. You think, geez, he's a superstar over here, but it's just a different way of challenging yourself.
Mm. Yeah, so I came over here and I've pretty much pivoted like jobs now. As everyone does in COVID, the word pivot's a big one. So I'm still doing a bit of comedy stuff, but mostly now producing things, and I you don't want to be the guy that talks about the stuff that he's about to do. Yeah, we've got a few things on the go, and it's all Sigma. Samantha, I'm sure you've addressed this previously. What have you done to yourself? You've got a cast.
Oh.
You've got a sling.
Yes, this is my accessory. I snapped some ligaments in my hand and I had to have them reconstructed a couple of weeks ago. So I've had some complications since. Just doing a handstand, you know, as you do on a Wednesday afternoon.
No, I don't. I'm an adult. I don't.
Well, perhaps at my age, at 33, I shouldn't be doing handstands. No, I teach kids to do handstands and it was just, I just leant on it funny and it all of a sudden felt like there was glass under my hand and there actually wasn't. I'd just torn some ligaments. But because of COVID, just getting a doctor's appointment took 10 days and then getting an x-ray took another 10 days. So it's actually been injured for about 4 months and I had surgery 2 weeks ago. And now I've had a little complication where my body has rejected one of the pins. So one of the pins is like pierced through my hand and is like sticking up. So it's got to be in this 24/7, unfortunately, until for another 4 weeks. Which is fab.
Do you have a respect? I had the same. Jordan DeGoey injured himself and tore the tendon in his finger and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I had that same injury. When I had that injury, I was doing a radio show.
Yeah.
And I reckon I took a week and a half off.
Yeah.
Right. Of doing a radio show.
Yeah.
Jordan DeGoey was running and kicking a football. The day of his surgery.
I know.
Do you feel appreciation for these footballers that walk in, go and get a full knee reco, and walk out and talk to like Damien Barrett? She's out in front of the hospital.
I do. I went to the meet with the surgeon, I said to him, "All right, what's the prognosis here?" And he goes, 6 months. I said, 6 months. I come from a world where Cooper Cronk broke his arm.
I'm 33.
I can have some court time. I literally said to him, Cooper Cronk broke his arm and played in a final 5 weeks later. A bone takes
in
4 to 6
with a broken shoulder.
I know. I said, this is the world I come from, mate. And he goes, Matt, that it's 6 months. And I thought to myself, because Joel Selwood a couple of weeks before broke his thumb or did some kind of hand injury and on the Friday night game and trained Monday morning and played the next week. I was fucking off my dick for about 7 days. I didn't know which way was up. I couldn't remember my name. I was so fucking high for at least a week. I still can't
scratch. And then you got the surgery.
Exactly. I don't know how they do it. Joel Selwood, Jordan DeGoey, Tom Lynch a couple of weeks ago that had surgery and played with his hand strapped. I literally can't scratch myself with these fingers.
Well, it's Jordy's fault. It's clearly Jordy's fault for trying to lay a tackle. That's not his go.
Exactly. I couldn't agree with
that. That's not
Stay
his
in
go.
Your lane, Jordan.
You have role players in teams who aren't very good who do that shit for the good players.
Yeah.
When he learns that, he's going to become a much better player. When it's all about,
I hope he's listening.
Well, how many tackles does lay a game? Well, I don't know, maybe he's the best player in the game because he does. You do what you're good at.
Yeah.
Let the baker, Jeff Walsh used to coin the saying, let the baker bake the bread. Just let the people who are good at what they do, do what they do.
Absolutely.
And Jordan's very good at that.
I just don't know how you guys do it. And I've thought about Dane said before the surgery, Dane kind of like, I don't know, made it sound like, oh, it's such a brush off surgery. Like I've been thinking about you a lot, Dane. It's not a brush off surgery. And this is fucking frustrating and painful. But like Dane was like, oh yeah, I had that. Oh yeah, I just got some this and like it was such a throwaway sentence how he had the same surgery and I was like, this guy's a fucking hero. Dane wears a cape and I didn't even know.
Well, I played 3 years with that injury, so and I was all Australian and
went first with it. Pick that up, Liam.
But
basically I'm soft.
No, I was actually saying that I struggled. Like I would have been a much better player.
Right.
Well, I probably would have won four Brown. Well, you know, you can't win 1 year, can you?
Unfortunately, I don't think
so. They somehow would have found a way. But,
yeah, that's true.
They
would have said, in light of extreme services to football, we would like to offer you a second Brownlow medal.
Well, I don't think that would have been fair.
Now, here's where it's awkward. You have to present it to yourself.
Well, I think that would have been fair. Absolutely.
You have to take it off your own shoulders and put it back on.
Dane, who presents the Brownlow if you win 2 years in a row? I don't remember.
I've got no idea. I don't know. Has anyone done it? Robert Harvey did it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Sure, it's just a commissioner. I think it's probably the CEO who's up on stage anyway.
I also think it's a new thing, the last guy giving it to. I want to say that's only started. Like, the only one I can really remember was when Cooney gave it to Ablett because he gave him a little kiss on the head.
Kiss on the head. Well, Lachie Neale gave it to himself.
Yes, true. That from the stand next to him, that was awkward.
He got it off the tarot cash mannequin.
It's a brilliant bit of television.
I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it. Like, the Brownlow medal is fucking weird at the best of times.
Oh, this year was
But
amazing.
Let alone, like, in COVID. I didn't see any of it, but I saw all the tweets of people going mental.
It was weird, mate, especially the blokes who were in Melbourne. So I think the Melbourne Footy Club and a couple of guys, the AFL obviously had them in a room, and I don't think they were allowed to drink and had that mask on. It did say, look, like they had their legs chained around the table, like they were in like an Austrian basement somewhere. that's what they look like. They look like they clearly weren't enjoying themselves.
It looked like a hostage video.
It really did.
It was weird.
But was Max Gordon like blinking to try to get attention?
But I'm positive it did go a lot quicker than the last ones. But yeah, Lachie Neale, I'm sure he loved it because he won it. The rest of them, like I say every year, the only person who likes the Brownlow is the person who wins it. The rest have.
Bruce has fun. I'm going to call you.
Yeah, okay. Talking players, I mean players. Or if it's your first, time there, and you just go and get shit faced and fucking have a ball. But if you've been there a couple of years, it gets pretty monotonous. Mm. But mind you, Sportsbet and now the television now are the betting agency with the AFL. So I'll have every chance to be there next year if Sportsbet will still have me.
Oh, can I say?
My missus certainly doesn't want to go, so absolutely. Well,
Scott, you actually opened a door there. When you won the Brownlow, Swanee, who was closer to you that night out of Bruce and Taylor?
Bruce's handshake was pretty firm.
Fairly long as well,
there was a little, like, little inside of the palm, you know that?
He really had hold of you, didn't he, Dan?
Yeah, but he does say, what, is there anyone who knows more about anything, about sport, than anyone else knows in any other field? Like, Neil deGrasse Tyson know more about the science or the fucking whatever he's good at than Bruce knows about Australian sport. He's the best at his job that anyone else is the best at their job in the world, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm.
There's an elegant way to put it.
He pops up on every, mate, Olympics, fucking horse racing, mate, the netball, fucking camel racing in the outback. Mate, he's brewing at it. But he does do research because I'm not sure where he did this year, but when I think 2009 when I was starting to get votes, so he comes out, he must do like the top 10 blokes who have a chance to win. He comes out and sits with you for like half an hour to an hour and just, mate, he's got a fucking, you know, notepad. He's got 1,000 notepads and he pulls that one out and just, so, Dane, you know, family, blah, 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 this, that, and they just writes notes. So he just fucking obviously.
So he met you at training, is that right?
Pardon?
You've never told the story. So what happened?
Haven't I? Yeah, so he came down to the Lexus, I can't remember what it's called now. I'm going to call it the Freeway Ford Centre.
Jake King calls it the Mitsubishi of Knox Centre. I don't know why.
Yeah, exactly. So the Freeway Ford Centre down there in the city. And it was just after training one day, some during the finals, I think. And then, well, it was after training, we sat in the cafe and, like, he just goes through, like, your history. Junior club, where you played, how you played, family, what they like, what they do. And game seven in 2004, Dane, just seemed to be your breakout game. I was like, hey, fuck if I know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you get that feeling like you're... There's something really intoxicating about being, like, seeing someone at the top of what it is they do. It doesn't matter even if, you know, when you see the guy that's making the noodles amazingly, and there's something kind of mesmerized. Is that the feeling when you see Bruce in full flight, like, doing that? You're like, I'm amongst one of the greats here.
Yeah, and, like, they're saying, like, he's good at it. He loves his job, I think, more than anyone loves their own jobs. Like, he just...
Right.
He fucking loves it. And he's extremely good at it. So, yeah, he just sits down. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. I'm like, okay, do I? shit, are you walking? I left that meeting and go, fuck, I'm pretty good.
The cafe and going to take an no, Dane, you don't like mushroom. You know what?
Absolutely.
Mate, you're entirely right. I met him early doors when I was just a kid a couple of times. And what strikes you about him, and you since hear that in interviews with him when he talks about himself, and he's not actually big on doing that.
He wouldn't be good on this podcast then.
Correct. But he can sometimes be parodied. But the reason why is because he's just 100% genuine. Like, yeah, there's he's not putting it on. He's being himself. And that's what makes him such a legend, because his work ethic blows everyone away.
Is he a frustrated athlete, or he always wanted to be a broadcaster? Like,
I don't think so. And obviously, you don't know my background, but with racing, and he started off as a trots caller in South Australia, but then also got into athletics.
He's a big athletics man. Yeah.
Quick story on trots off the subject. So it's quite funny. I'm not sure if I've told it before, but well, down like years ago, down at Nick Maxwell's holiday pad down in St Andrews or something like that, and there's a couple of players, and there was a young Irish kid there, and his missus, Caleb Mooney. I'm not sure if you remember him.
Yeah.
And so we're down there, we're on the piss, and we're sitting down, and the race is run, then the trots come on. And I'm not sure if I've told you on this story on the here before, but Kaylin's missus was like, oh, in a cute Irish accent. I was like, oh, geez, that's very, oh, isn't that sweet? And we're looking at the trials going, yeah, okay, why? She goes, oh, it's great that they've got races for disabled jockeys.
Scott with Bruce is, and he's definite big breakthrough was the 1984 Olympics on Channel 10. At the time, he was just sort of known for South Australian work, and he got into a production meeting, and I think Mike Gibson was the main host or whoever at the time, and Bruce basically said, I know more than everyone else here, but not in a bragging way, but just leave it to me, I'll do the lot. And that was and he did, and that was so. And we're talking, he was Google before Google.
Yeah.
It was Carl Lewis's first year, and he just dominated.
I feel sorry. I had a couple of mates that played in grand finals in the AFL in years that Channel 10 had the broadcast.
Yeah,
and I feel sorry for guys looking back and not having Bruce call it. Like, that's a bit of a bummer because, but you know, Bruce is the voice, and especially when it was Bruce and Cometti. To me,
yeah.
That was the best one.
It's a bit the same as like the guys who played in the 2010 grand final not being able to see Meatloaf perform.
Someone that saw both Meatloaf and Lionel Richie.
Unfortunately, I got to miss them.
Oh, bad luck there. Hey, so Scott, can you tell us in a nutshell what life is like? Because as Dane says, for most of us, politics is whatever the fuck, and then, you know, we had to obviously put up with the press conference every day because that actually affected our lives. But most of us actually don't give a shit about politics most of the time, but yeah, probably haven't got that choice in America at the moment.
No, it's pretty all-encompassing. And I think COVID's kind of heightened that because everyone's looking for guidance on what to do. So the thing about America is they're 50 separate countries, essentially, when it comes to things like this. Like, the states' rights issue is a big thing. So we've been looking at Cuomo a lot. Andrew Cuomo is the governor of New York. He was the guy that was in charge. So that was bubbling away for most of the year. And then the presidential election obviously came along. We were upstate when they called the election and came straight back down into the city because it was like the biggest party that was going to happen. And it was like, we were in the West Village which is a pretty like it's a super gay area. A friends of ours live there, and it's like, well, it's like the party area for, you know, rich people. And there's all these like really nice restaurants, and everyone's out on the street eating because there's no indoor dining at the moment. And we were having a couple of jars on our friend's the stoop in front of their place, and you'd hear like just a wave of applause going, like everyone start cheering and horns and start honking, and you know, people would go crazy, and it'd just be some punter walking past with a Biden Harris t-shirt on, right? Like it was a really wild time. The flip side of that is that we're about to get one of the most tremendous second waves of COVID ever. Because I'm literally hugging on the street and sharing drinks.
Is the payoff worth it to get Trump out, or?
Well, that's a bit. Listen, for me, and I don't want to get political, it was worth it to see the Four Seasons total landscape press conference. Which was the most amazing, like, I don't know if you know the story, Samantha. They called the press conference. They said, we're going to have a press conference at Four Seasons in Philadelphia. The guy that's called has called the first Four Seasons he's seen, and it's a landscaping company about 20 clicks out of town. And rather than just saying, oh, shit, we sent the Four Seasons, we met the Marriott, they went, no, this was where it was meant to be the whole time. It was between it. So the Four Seasons total landscaping is between a crematorium and a dildo shop. and it gets better. So Giuliani said, this is where the press conference is. He goes, oh, I can't believe these Democrats, they're going to steal the election, blah, blah, blah. Hey, here's my mate. He's going to tell you even more about it. And this guy gets up and goes, I've been seeing this forever. And someone goes, hey, is your name Frank Smith? He goes, yeah, that's right. He goes, you're the convicted sex offender, right? And I went, all right, this is finished.
Right, you know what? Like, I don't give a – like, politics, it doesn't – well, I'm sure it affects me, but I couldn't give a fuck about politics. So I kind of wanted Donald Trump to win just for the next 4 years of just, like, the best reality TV show on the – like on earth. Like, he's, you know, I listen to him and watch it because he makes me laugh.
Yeah, which is a luxury you have.
Yeah,
like, thanks. When you live here, it's a bit different, and it's you know, not to get serious, it's very bad for a lot of people here. And it's not a direct result of his stuff. It's the knock on effect of, like, racism is, and I it's a hard thing to say. What's the word I'm looking for? It's a hard thing to say with, you know, concretely, but there is definitely a different attitude here than there was before.
With racism?
Yeah, absolutely. And that goes beyond, like, George Floyd and all that stuff. Like, you know, my wife is a person of color, and, you know, like, we've got a lot of friends that are, and to have to check in on people because of shit the president said is not great.
It's weird, isn't it?
No. So let's get back to the dick jokes. Hey, yeah. What?
I did have another social dilemma. Oh, not social dilemma, just some more etiquette for when you're out at dinner. I'd like to get people's views on. So obviously now we can go out for dinner, you know, with four people or whatever, and we're starting to move out again now. So you get your dinner, usually you get some bread rolls and stuff. Like, yeah. And then I'll talk about, like, your red wine. So everyone, when the bread comes, everyone gets their roll. If one person doesn't take their roll, when is it acceptable to take it? Because it can't sit there till the end of the dinner. It's completely unacceptable. I think it's when, if your main comes now halfway through your main and you haven't grabbed it yet, it's fucking up for grabs.
Wait, are we working on the traditional entree, main, dessert, or are we jumping straight to a main?
No, entree, main. Like, if anyone, put it this way, if anyone fucking grabs their bread roll while eating a fucking melt lava cake, they're absolutely psychopath and deserve to be thrown in jail.
I will happily endorse that one.
Exactly. So
have to actually say, are you going to have that? Because I'll have it if you won't. You'd rather just wait to see in your own head.
I just eyeball the fuck out of him for ages and until they go, oh, do you want that? And I'll be like, yes, I do, actually.
So you make it as unpleasant as possible for everyone else at the table until you can get that extra little bit of bread roll after eating.
But no, I'll steal Taylor's. That's no problem because I can deal with her wrath. But the other people's, I'll be polite enough not to take it. So
she's a lucky woman. She's a lucky woman. Mate. I say it a lot.
She's blessed. And the other thing is with red wine.
She's blessed.
Like if you then like a nice bottle of red wine, medium price bottle. Like if you're on a different drinking speed to everyone else, you have to slow up so everyone gets a fair suck of the sauce bottle.
And someone who has drunk literally half a bottle of wine during this conversation.
No. Okay. So snooze you lose. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think there's a few things to unpack here. So let's start with the bread. It depends on the entree. So if you've had your bread roll as your pre entree.
Okay, when does everyone get there? I'll tell you mine as soon as it comes out. Does everyone out? Too.
Yeah, or if for some reason I'm not hungry for it, I take it from the center and put it on my little side plate.
And so that is your bread roll to do with what you please.
Absolutely.
Yes, but if your bread roll is not eaten while it's been sitting there, when the dessert cup, more like halfway through your dinner, you're being greedy and I should deserve to take it off your plate.
you'll take it off a plate, not out of the bowl.
Well, if it's sitting there till after the mains come out, you know how there's some of these restaurants are very nice, but you don't get fucking much food because they, you know, like
there's a very artistic flair of like pea smeared along the
exactly. And you're like, I've had three bites and I've finished before everyone, and there's some bread rolls just sitting.
You're a very quick eater. And you've actually finished a couple of my meals.
Well, hang on. I'm value for money. Hey, mate.
The other people's meals.
Well, what,
one of the great carb loaders of our time.
Exactly. Well, Scott, usually after we have dinner, I don't eat for 3 days. So I need to eat as fucking much as I can get in.
Your Honour.
Where would you rather go in the bin? Like, mate, you can't take it back. The chef will be disgusted if you don't eat me. So I'll clean up for everyone.
Yeah, you're the Uber.
Well, someone's got to eat it.
Goodness.
But so that was the dilemmas I added. So we're saying after dinner, halfway through the main, you can take it. Or if it's on someone's plate, it's theirs to do what they choose with.
Mm. But if you're going to claim the bread roll, you have to eat it. Like, why would you not eat the bread roll? It's part of one of the best bits about going out.
Exactly right. So, he's got during dessert, he goes, sorry, I didn't eat it. Well, I've been staring at it for 45 minutes.
Selfish.
Do you think the fact that you're cleaning the other person's plate up as well?
Yeah.
I might give it away.
And the other thing for restaurants, don't bring the butter out fucking ice cold. It just completely ruins it. But you can't butter anything. It's a fucking disgrace. Go whack it in the microwave for 10 seconds.
Is that COVID normal?
No, well, who knows? Yeah.
Would you ask them to, Dane? Would you send the butter back?
Pardon?
Would you send the butter back?
No, but I would never send anything back. Even if someone put a dog shit on me, on me plate, I was like, that wasn't too bad. Yeah, that was like I'm not that kind of person where no matter what it is, I would send it back. I'd always go, how was that? Yeah, that was all right. I'd go, that's fucking horrible. But
I've got a follow up here because you're a very recognisable person in Australia, particularly Melbourne. Do you find your attitude changes when you're overseas? Like when you're over here in New York and you go out for a meal with me and Ashka, do you then think, you know what, I can send this back and no one's going to go, oh, fucking Dane Swan, what a princess when it comes to his steak.
Yeah.
Like, do you have a bit of a different attitude?
Yeah, I'd get Taylor to do it.
So you're just as brave overseas as you are.
Yeah. But I'd tell Taylor not to do it here. I said, don't worry about it. Well, we'll get something else or I'll eat it. Don't worry about it. You can go hungry.
As I said, she's a very lucky woman.
Yeah, she's blessed. But over there, I'd say, can you please take that back? Told or some of that. Because I don't have that personality. I don't have the. It's not confrontational, but I don't know what you call it. But like, I'd just be like, Taylor, can you please take it back, or I'm going to eat it. I'll just go, that's shit. She'd be like, well, why don't you say something? I said, because I don't want to. And then I'll just complain that I'm hungry. She's like, fuck, I'll do it then. I'll be like, aha, yes, okay, thank you.
and do you do the, like, the shrug and the rolling of the eyes to the waiter? Oh, don't look at me, pal. I got to live with it.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. Hey, what are you doing? Listen, if it's not too much trouble, mate, but listen, I really enjoyed it. It's just, that dog shit on the table's not what I asked for.
I don't want to labour the point, but she's a very lucky woman.
Very lucky. Mate,
very lucky.
All right, we've got messages from our Instagram, Swanee and Friends, from It's Wones. I'm not going to say that last word, even here. Swanee, are you happy with your couch? It's exactly like mine. I think it's a good value couch.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What? How's he not? Well, it's a fucking expensive couch, so you must... she's wearing the mask. She wants a new one, so... I've got a custom made, so we must... So unless he just got my dimensions...
off
my couch. Yes, I love my couch. It's like a single bed on one side, and then it's like...
Put that on your Insta stories. That in your bed, so that's probably where they saw it.
One thing I wanted depth. I need depth in a cushion. Mm. Like long ways, so like yes. You can lay down. And I've got like the single bed side, so like the side of the single bed, and then like your two or three fucking cushions, whatever you call it. But I'm happy with the couch, but I've been told we're getting a new one, so that'll be on the street soon enough.
Scott, anything to add there?
We got a white couch, and I'm too scared to sit on it.
Yeah.
And this thing cost a fortune. I'm serious. I can't sit on it. I lay down blankets. It's like I'm trying to hide a crime scene under there. It's terrifying.
Drink red wine on it?
Well, I mean, I make exceptions. I'm an animal.
Yeah, absolutely.
From Teb, Swanee, what do you think is the reason Geelong keeps recruiting so many older players?
Well, they're trying to add youth. So I think Higgins and Cameron will probably bring their age average down a bit. But, well, they'd want to win the flag in the next year or two. Otherwise, they're going to be fucked if they don't. If they give GWS their first round draft picks this year and they've traded Higgins for 30 or whatever, well, they're putting all their eggs in this basket. They're obviously trying to get Paddy to win a flag. So I don't mind the move, like trying to win for the now, because you can always rebuild. You might just have to go through a bit of pain. So I don't mind trying to win a flag now. But if they don't, I guess people will go, like everything, if you don't succeed, people will be like, well, they fucked up asking for Cameron and Higgins. And I think I went through a workout. I might be going back there. Don't be surprised if Alex Rance ends up at Geelong. no, hey, you might think I'm joking. Like, I've heard significant whispers that Alex Rance is very close to being a Geelong player.
Stop. Fuck off. Stop. I'd say
that as a friend.
No.
Really?
Get fucked,
cunt. You're saving your brand again, Dane.
Yes, really. He's got his school down in Geelong. Apparently his family life is okay now. I don't know, but well, I don't want to talk about that. But I've heard, that Geelong have talked to Rance and
I think he's weighing up. The football euphemism is he's in a good place mentally. I think that's obvious.
He's a required player.
No, he's gone.
Yeah. Watch that space. I'm pretty sure they've talked to him now, whether it comes to fruition or not. But I think they've made inquiries. I might become the new Tom Brown. Just break
it. Scott, you've got to do it like this, though. You've got to do it like this. I can reveal exclusively that conversations have broken down between St Kilda and the player in question. And while I can't reveal the name of the player, I can say right here on Footy Classified or whatever the show is, that to watch this space. Well, you said nothing, pal.
Exactly.
There's a final giveaway. Has he got a real estate agent looking at properties near?
That's a classic. That's my favourite, Ralph.
Always.
I've heard he's had a look at a place in Moggs Creek. He's going!
Absolutely. From Merdad, why hasn't Scotty come back yet? Well, we've got Scotty. We've got a Scotty. That'll do. From Mark, Dane, it's Teaspoon. How do you think I got my nickname?
Teaspoon?
Yeah.
How do I think? Did you know? Have you got the story how he's...
No, I haven't, and I'm worried already.
I'm also worried.
I don't know. How would you have got... Does anyone have a story on how you would be called Teaspoon?
No. Well, I'm sure there'll be a follow-up, though.
Can you please let us know? I'd be interested to know how you...
Do
well,
follow
at
up.
At least you're not Tablespoon. Well, at least... I'd much prefer you be called Teaspoon than Tablespoon if I'm thinking where I'm going down. I'm much happier that it's Tablespoon than Teaspoon.
I'm disgusted I got your train of thought so quickly.
can we be cancelled for thinking the wrong thing?
Quite possibly in this day and age.
At least it's not Blumpkin or a dirty Scotty or something like that.
From Greg, Sam. Are the NRL stupid for not having Origin on a Friday or Saturday night? Nothing else on.
Thanks, Sam. That before this, but
thanks,
the I think Origin has lost luster for sure. I watched it last night, but it has to, and it's obviously they couldn't because it's during the middle of the season. But I think it's they probably have to play it, but I think it's definitely not nowhere near as good as it is during the middle of the year. And same with the rugby union. Well, I don't know what's happening in the union, but I think is union dead in Australia now? Like, it doesn't seem to be anywhere.
It's in trouble. The thing about rugby union is they put too much focus on the top tier and not enough in the grassroots about 20 years ago. And now it's dying. And you see it with, but the problem is there's a group of people in Sydney and Brisbane screaming out for grassroots rugby. And when I say grassroots, I mean local club rugby, which is like country footy in Victoria. It's a lifeblood. You know, it's a really good vibe. And you have a look. Mate, they get more people to the Shoot Shield, which is the local club rugby in Sydney, than they do the Waratahs, which is New South Wales. With Origin, and this is a question without notice to the panel, is that the most valuable sporting property in the country?
On TV? Sam, I reckon
probably.
It would be.
Yeah, I think it is.
And to Sam's question, I would say, listener, I would say, I definitely think that Origin would have been good on a Friday or Saturday night here because all the footy's gone. There's really nothing out. There's no sport on it like Saturday night. But get people over because it's not really a social thing on a Wednesday night. Like, you're not having people over, you can everywhere else. But I think weekend, people over, have a barbie, and then watch the Origin. I think it'd give people an excuse to get out on the piss and watch it, go to a pub and stuff. So, yes, I think they missed out on watching, on having the Origin on a Friday or Saturday night. But I think I know the money and stuff like that, but it would have been good to miss it a year and then come back next year, a year off, but it would have been fucking
hey, weird, but... you couldn't yeah. do that. You're leaving millions on the table.
I understand that. But...
I reckon the Friday, Saturday night is best for non-rugby league markets.
Yes.
That's where it is. New South Wales and Queensland are going to watch it. You could play it at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. They'll watch it.
Mm.
And stuff to be able to get into it.
Like the AFL Grand Final, Ralph, on a 9-9.
That's right. From Trev.
Sorry to interrupt. Can we have a question from listener Scott in New York?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. AFL Grand Final, day or night?
Yeah, well, Ralph, I like the night. I prefer playing at night. You know, for my own personal interest, like I've stated on this before, I think a night grand final would be better for the hardworking ex-footballers who have won a premiership who need to get around to a function or two on grand final day.
Breakfast and lunch.
Yeah, exactly. There'd be a lot more functions going on, so you'd be able to scoot around to a lot more and speak at a lot more functions. So for hand-up personal interest, I'd love to see a night grand final because you'd probably make 10x what you do on a day one. So, but... Oh, I think the night. I think it looked cool at night. I think the TV rights, TV numbers were huge. So, for me personally, yeah, I like it at night. Now it kind of ruins the winners' celebrations a bit because you don't have dinner and stuff like that. So, if you were playing, you'd probably prefer it in day and winning it because then you get that night to celebrate with your friends and family. Because if it's at a night game, you sort of it's 11 o'clock and fucking bang, then you're out. And you sort of miss the family and friends time, or your friends will be fine, but you know, miss seeing your kids or whatever. Or
an auntie that really has a crack, yeah,
yeah, exactly. But Ralph, and you think this, you can't see him going back to a day grand final, can you?
No, and Scott, I'm a Melbourne boy growing up. You know, if it was a matter of just a pure choice, I'd prefer a day grand final because I love that tradition of it. But I think now that they've done it and the northern markets are just so strong numbers-wise, I don't think they can go back because there's just too much money left on the table if they go to a day grand final compared to the amount of people who'd watch it nationally at night again.
Would you think
Do
you think that the numbers were so high on the TV because there wasn't 100,000 people in Melbourne at the game? Like, because
no,
everyone
I'm talking
in
national
Melbourne.
Numbers.
Sorry, say that again.
I'm talking national numbers. So the New South Wales and Queensland numbers were just through the roof, and I just wouldn't get that if it was a Saturday afternoon or even a twilight. And what that then means is that the sponsors who or the advertisers will spend a lot more money with primetime ratings. And so that's the financial, because you know if you say to any player, do you want to get paid much more for playing in a night grand final than a day grand final? I don't think it'd be a long argument, Swanee.
No, not at all. Nothing for nothing, mate.
Well, I love the NRL grand final's always been at night, and I've always loved that because you get the spectacle of the light show and the fireworks, and it's like it's a different atmosphere. But I agree with Ralph. Like, I quite like the day grand final from a punter's point of view. I like the day drinking element to it. It's something different, but... I agree with what you're saying about sponsors and advertising dollars.
The NRL Grand Final hasn't always been at night. The NRL Grand Final was always 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, and then it slowly made it, pushed it out to 7 o'clock. My argument is against the night Grand Final, and I say this as a punter, is the tradition, which doesn't really pass muster. I think the arguments that are being put forward by the AFL and others, and they've been flying this kite for years and they had the opportunity to do it. They've always, you know what the AFL's like. They go, listen, it's inevitable about this, that and the other thing. This is our Indigenous game. This idea that we have to follow things because, well, they do it in the NRL or the NFL has a night game, whatever it is, doesn't hold up because this is our game. If you want to change it, then why don't change it to a round ball? Or why not
let
people throw it? Or, you know, I think that this is our thing. We can just do with what we want. If you want more money from sponsors, ask for more money from the sponsors because they'll fucking pay it. Do you know why? Because this is the only show in town. That's the argument. This idea that we've got to pander to television audiences to get an extra 200,000 people that are never going to watch a fucking home and away game. Who gives a shit? Like, honestly, I'm really hot on this. I'm really hot on this. And, yeah, I've had four glasses of wine.
See, but, like, you kind of answered it there because Sam said, well, the rugby league grand final's always been at night. You said, no, it was during the day. In 10 years, if it's a night game, no one will remember it was during the day. People will be like, oh,
I don't remember
fucking AFL
game.
Grand final's a night game. How, what a great spectacle this is.
No, I don't think people will forget. Well, but
I won't.
To say that people will forget it was at night, you actually used me remembering it was during the day to prove that. I'm not sure that helps.
But Sam said it goes, it's always been at night. So
yeah,
people,
well,
I've got an injury,
Dane.
She doesn't know what she's saying.
Yeah. She's high. She's been high for 2 weeks.
I've been high for 2 weeks.
Well, back to the listeners. From Trav, what are you buying me for Christmas for putting up with the shit merch, for the shit audio during lockdown?
Well, we're going to come back together. That should be prize enough for you. And we may even have a Christmas party. Why not, Swanee and friends? We'll think about it. What do you reckon? That's
from
it.
Mick.
Oh, why not?
That's a good Christmas.
Ralphie, who has the worst supercomputer, Dan Andrews or the TAB? I think Dan Andrews is back in front after the weekend.
Ralphie, can someone explain to me what happened? Because I've only just heard, like, what was the there's a TAB outage.
Yes.
So what happened?
So they're saying it was an apparent fire. And that amuses me because I don't know how you can have an apparent fire. I reckon if something's burning, you know about it.
It's pretty fiery.
And there's all sorts of theories going about why a computer might have been. So now it's just down to put the quotation marks up, an apparent fire.
Are they going to have an inquiry about it? And just no one knows anything? Just like the hotel inquiry? Yeah.
Pretty much, yep, absolutely. So that's who knows.
And
but anyway, it would have cost...
And it certainly proves that the gambling doesn't move the horse racing at all. That it's not led by gambling, does it? Horse racing? No, not at all.
Absolutely, we're here for the horses. They're majestic. The jockeys are fantastic. The trainers are fantastic. Just watch them run around in circles. Fuck the TAB crash. We better delay the race. This one for Swanee from Bernie. Are you guys taking over the hot breakfast on Triple M next year?
Well, hey, listen. There's a gap.
We're available.
There's a gap. It'll be a fucking hot breakfast, or it'll be a hot night. That's for sure. But Scott can be our US correspondent. We're available for chat. Now, what time does the hot breakfast start?
It starts at 6. You just have to be there probably 4:45 for a production meeting.
PM.
AM.
Well, is there a hot mid morning?
Hot brunch?
Is there a hot brunch? Yes.
I've got a question on this for Scott. What's harder, breakfast radio or midnight to dawn?
Oh, brekkie. Yeah. No, breakfast.
Overnight.
It is harder. I found it harder. Because, well, I think there was probably also where I was working. So I went from Triple J to Nova. So I'd gone from 16-year-old rappers that Dane would sing along to... Hey, coming up next, we've got tickets to Katy Perry. That's a tough bit of build to smell it. But, hey, you should have seen the car I bought. It was a rude.
What was the highlight of Midnight to Dawn on Triple J?
Oh, there are a few weird... I'll tell you... Okay, I had an email address that I had for the show. And you had some pretty lewd... Like, this is very early webcam stuff. Some pretty... That was my favourite part. That was like, oh, this must be what it's like to be famous. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, God, okay.
Am I second Scott to be cancelled on this show?
Well, apparently it's like COVID. You can't get it twice. We hope. From Corey, Ralph, your unbiased opinion on horses dying during the Melbourne Cup Carnival, without responding with, this is the fifth horse in 100 years that has died, stats don't count here. So I assume you're saying don't be cynical and tell it as it is. Yeah, the problem is it's international horses trained at Werribee, and it's only since they've been using Werribee as a quarantine centre. There's a number of reasons what might be the case, primarily that Werribee's quite a tight turning track and the UK horses train in straight lines on big undulating surfaces, and they're probably not conditioned enough and or
they get here at the end when they're pretty tired after a European campaign. But the bottom line is it's just totally unacceptable. It's a stain on the sport and things have to change, even though that makes the race better. There hasn't been an Australian horse that died in the Melbourne Cup since 1980. So that's a fair way. It's 40 years, but all these deaths are international horses. That's the only thing they have in common. They're trained at Werribee and they or quarantined at Werribee where they train, and now it's just unacceptable. You can't have it in the Premier race because you know, I follow racing year round, but the general public love it one day a year, and you can't have it in the biggest day. Mm. Your thoughts, guys?
Yeah, no. Agree.
Well, I was actually curious to hear your opinion on it, Ralph, purely because you obviously have not just an opinion, you have inside knowledge. Everyone's got a fucking opinion on it. When the thing is, you don't see or hear from any of these Nup to the Cup people all throughout the year, and then all of a sudden they pop up the day before and then they're there for a couple of days afterwards because undoubtedly a horse has been dying every couple of years or whatever it is, which is unacceptable for the sport and for the animal. So it's good to hear your insight, and it's good to hear that there's something that can be changed and done about it. Do you know what I mean? It's not just a coincidence that these horses are always just dying in the Melbourne Cup. There's actually could quite possibly be a reason and something that we can change, which is good to hear.
What do you think from a distance, Scott?
Are they similar deaths? I don't know enough about it, so I'm just going to ask.
Yeah, so there's five that have happened in a race or race related because one of them was a heart attack after a race. So you can safely say that that's a race related because of the stress of being in a race. The other four were breakdowns in the race. Two of them were on soft tracks, two of them were on firm tracks. So the only common thread that's there is that it's since the Werribee Quarantine Centre has been used. They used to train at Sandown, which is probably a bit more European-like because it's wide open spaces, and they didn't have those problems then. So to me, it's just really from a brand management or brand image point of view, Racing Victoria just said, look, it's unacceptable. We don't know if it's the reason, but we know we have to change, so Werribee won't be used again. If they did that straight away, at least it would be looked to be doing something that the average person can say, good, I follow racing once a year. I love having a Melbourne Cup sweep. I'm sick of having to explain to my kids why there's a horse dying. You're doing something. You can't be taking months to hold an inquiry because racing's very good at sweeping things under the carpet and hasn't done the sport much good over the years. And in this situation, they just need to lead. And it's but the good thing is there are participants now, like Danny O'Brien and Wayne Hawks, and like as in elite trainers and jockeys who know that it's bad for the wider image of the sport, and they're piping up too. So I think change will happen for sure.
Do you reckon it's affecting it?
Oh, 100%.
I think it's a black eye for the sport on the day, but there's a halo effect of these things. So do you reckon there is?
Well, I do because, and you know, one of the few privileged gigs I've had is MC the Melbourne Cup Parade. I did that for about a decade, and when you see Melbourne literally stop and for a parade of old horses and jockeys and trainers, everyone loves it and they want to love the sport. You know, there's a reason it's a public holiday and everything else. But you know, and Michelle Payne's story was so embraced by wider society. Ollie, you know, 20 years ago when after his brother's tragic death,
media,
you know, media puzzle, absolutely. So there's enough stories and enough. What if racing doesn't do anything? What it'll lose is the amount of little investors who are happy to buy a share in a horse. When I went on the Black Caviar tour in 2012, we did a little. There was 40 from Australia, and we had a panel of UK experts there at the lunch. And I said, "Put up your hand if you've owned a share in a horse." And I think 39 out of 40 had owned a small share in a horse. And the UK people couldn't believe it because over there it's just a top sport. Every horse has one or two owners maximum, with a very odd exception. But over here, there's, you know, you can buy a percentage of a percentage of a percentage. So it is that
you have not played. You have not played local football if some guy has said you want to buy a share.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely. And they're going to lose that if they don't do something. So that's why it's so important, even for the people who don't care about racing 51 weeks of the year. So, and as Sam said, then there's that element that just want to latch on and pound the sport for 1 week of the year, but you can't give them that opportunity to do so. And that's what they did again this year with that death.
So Swanee, the night Melbourne Cup, why do you want it?
Yeah. I put blinkers on them away, I put blindfolds on them away, there you go.
But what about the horses? Like, can you imagine a time when you couldn't have, you know, Waikika Moo Cow come and celebrate with with its family after getting that impressive third.
No, exactly.
I know why your mates are here, Dayton Scott. That's good. We'll finish with this one from Brooke. How did you all meet your partners?
Okay. Do you want me to go first?
Yep.
Business partners or?
Taylor
at a bar randomly. She landed in, this is a longer story, but landed in Oz the first time and met her in a bar the Friday night in 07 when we got beat by Geelong by 5 points in the prelim. So my life would have been a whole lot different if we had won that game. I'm not saying for better or for worse.
It just would have been different.
Absolutely would have been different. But the odd thing about it is on the plane, she must ask someone, what should I do? And they said, you have to go watch the game of AFL. And little did I know that Taylor went to the game I played in that night. So she sat there on her own and watched me play. She obviously didn't know who I was. And then people behind her said, come to a bar with us. So she went, she was on her own. And then I was at a lot of sliding doors moments. I was at that bar because the whole team were going to the joint on Chubble Street, just up here, Frostbite, I think it was called.
There's one for the alcohol.
Yeah, exactly. Another story, little did I know that a couple of the boys were getting an urn to get us all in there. I didn't find that out till a year or two later.
But you've learned since how to do that properly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So my mate was at Baroque, it was where she was, and I said, mate, come in. He wouldn't come on his own. He's like, mate, it's your night. I said, fuck you, I'm going to come and get you. So I said, I'll be back in half an hour. I jumped in must have been Ubers back then. Jumped in a cab, went to Baroque, got it. Went in, had a beer, grabbed him, obviously seen her, and then the rest, as I say, is history. But it was weird because we met, and she was like, oh, well, obviously met Friday night, then I was out Saturday night, obviously, because when you finish footy, you go on, yeah.
Don't interrupt. Can I just say, to the bloke that's gone, I reckon I'm half a chance with the American in front of me, let's get it to Baroque. Like Dane Swan, game over.
Exactly. So went out, and then Saturday night, yeah. Then she was like, oh, so what are you doing Sunday? I was like, oh, I'm going to the pub. She's like, fuck, what? Again? So I had to be like, I don't think
I'm a professional athlete, hun. You don't understand how committed I am.
Well, she didn't really know what I did. And then on the Monday morning, she's like, oh, do you want to get lunch? I was like, mad Monday. I was like, oh, I've got to be at the pub. She's like, I've got to be at the pub at 10 a.m. She's like, what the fuck am I getting myself into? Like, he's raging alcoholic. I was like, oh, listen, this is just a fucked up week. Like, I'll explain it at another time. And then, obviously, we stuck through. She must have clicked on the Brownlow that night. And that was in 07 where I must have got a few votes. And she was like, oh, fuck, that's him. And that's obviously why she likes me.
Because you polled well.
Yeah.
Scott, you?
We met at a bar through friends. Yeah, met at a bar with some mates and then ended up with, we now live together as husband and wife on the same street as that bar in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, wow. Oh, good. Yeah. I met my partner in the same bar that Dane met his. Isn't that weird?
There you go. But that is very weird.
Well, 10 years ago. I don't know, probably. No, I was, my ex-boyfriend actually is an owner of Brook, so I was there with my ex-boyfriend, which was my current boyfriend at the time, and I met the guy who is now my boyfriend then.
Oh, mum can whiteboard.
I was dating a guy who owned Brock. And while I was there as his girlfriend, I met my now current boyfriend.
Okay. That's a lot simpler. And Ralph?
We were mates for about a year before we started going out, but I met her when I was doing a freelance column in a magazine called Sports Weekly, and I had to fax through my copy, and it was just so very, very amusing and hilarious. And Sue was the editor's assistant, so she'd have to get the copy off the fax machine. Yeah. And from there we became mates. So, and then we started going out. So there you go. There's my sliding doors moment, Swanee.
Cute.
Thank you.
Are you guys partners or is she a connection with the horse racing thing? How do you describe each other?
Yeah, yeah. I'm the trainer. Yes, we got married in 2002. Probably honeymoon wasn't far from where you are now. So there you go. Yeah. Very good. Hey, so we're winding up because is this a record, Sam?
This is a record. We're at 1 hour 18.
And 4 wines in for Scott too. Thanks so much for being part of it, Scott.
Yeah, thanks, mate. You're welcome back any time.
Absolutely. Let me know. I'll be here.
Sweet, mate.
And we've got nothing to plug because we're still not properly allowed out of the house yet, are we, Sam?
No, not quite. Almost. We'll be back together soon, guys. Don't you worry.
Hey, and we've got another good special guest from the States next week. So thanks for joining us.
Donald Trump.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.